sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
So today's poem is in French. On dit souvent que j'ai l'air d'avoir tout pour moi, mais c'est sans savoir. Des fantômes qui me hantent et les requiems que je me chante. Je joue au dur chaque jour qui passe. Et les pierres de chaque mur un jour se cassent.
Damn.
Je suis peut-être la roche qu'on croit, mais je suis plus fragile que je veux qu'on voit.
Damn! All right, okay. Yo, wow. Okay, I'll explain. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. God damn, sorry, my chest. I don't know if it's obvious, but yeah, you don't have to speak French, but it helps if you understand it on this podcast, all right? So, fair warning. Speaking of warning, I want to remind you that this podcast is also protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Hey, yo, this episode is being recorded on the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 22nd at 7:08. PM on a Wednesday. Did I mention it's on a Wednesday? So this is a midweek. So this constitutes as a midweek episode. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. You heard me. Fuck you too. All right. Let me just shut down this. That was my WhatsApp you heard in the background, or maybe you have, depending on how I edit this podcast. And right, okay, quick intro section. Okay, because it's a midweek episode, you don't need to know this. There's been a little, little preparation. Okay, hold on a second. You know what I was about to do? I was going to violate a code of a rule of public speaking, which I imagine applies to podcasts, is I was going to make excuses. I was going to start you off and say, yeah, this episode is going to suck because I didn't prepare because, you know, the white man got in the way. I was going to give you a whole bunch of shitty excuses to lower your expectations for this podcast. And that's the thing, you don't do that. Well, I know you don't do that in public speaking. You don't show up and say, hey, this speech is going to suck. You don't say shit like that. No, you go in strong, fake it till you fucking make it, lie your motherfucking ass off, and assume that whoever's going to hate it is going to hate it, and whoever's going to like it, you never know. Whoever's going to like it. Like, shout out to my comedy, my comedian friends who showed up to the comedy club thinking, yeah, this is gonna suck. And then they went on, but you don't tell that to the fucking audience. you know, like, hey, I gotta warn you, I didn't come prepared. The motherfucking owner fucked me, and my girl left me. You don't say shit like that. You just start off and say, start with your jokes. You know what I mean? If you what's the word they use? If you eat shit, take a dick. I don't know what's the expression for bombing. if you eat shit, you eat shit like a soul. Basically, go down with the motherfucking shit. Sorry, this is a long intro. This is a longer than usual intro, and I forgot to set the timer because I'm being more mindful of the way I use the time on this podcast. So, let me remind you. Yeah, all this to say that the show must go on, and thank you for listening, and let's see how it goes. I forgot to put him on my rundown sheet. I'll make it part of the intro that today's verse poem that I just read out loud, that I just read out, is from the track by the singer, Montreal singer, Corneille. And don't be saying Cornea. No, Corneille. Hold on a second. Corneille. Beep. Let me see where he's from. Yeah, he's from Montreal, right? Okay, hold on. He recorded out of Montreal, but he's originally from Rwanda. And from what I understand, he's a... Oh, wow, he was born in Germany? Damn. Yes, I'm not going to be ignorant and say, what, there are black people in Germany? Yes, I'm fully aware there are black people in Germany. I thought homie was from Rwanda, though. Hold on, birth name, Corlinius. Yeah, call name. Corlinius Ngura? Ngura? N-Y-U-N-G-U-R-A. Basically, not a Christian name. Born 24th of March. Yes. Okay. Origin Rwanda, but he was born in Germany. But yes. Big thing is personal life. Corneille married a Canadian model. Of course, he did. An actress, Sophia de Mercedes of 2006. They have one child. You know what? Because I am an unenlightened hetero male who needs to, who still needs to grow up. Damn! Sorry. Of course I had to Google his girl. But shame on you, man. Going looks, I don't know this woman. Yeah. But yeah, the hetero in me, the toxic hetero, God works on all of us, had to look up his girl. Seriously, said can he? It's amazing how we judge males by their girl. But no, not by their girls, but how their girl looks. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, where was I? Corneille, yes, from Rwanda. And from what I understand, he survived the massacre. And yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the movie Hotel Rwanda for your history lesson. Or watch a documentary. Or read a book. Anyway, yeah, so and he has a track on his album called Seul au Monde. Now I'm trying to remember if that's the name. Oh wow, homie's got a lot of Parce qu'on vient de loin, because we're from far. Yes, okay, from his first album Parce qu'on vient de loin, and he's got a track in there called Seul au Monde. Long story short, why did I pick it? It's because, I guess I had a fucked up. Not fucked up bad, but I had one of those therapy sessions that just like, wow. And sometimes when I come out of therapy, I can find a rap song that I can use as a theme for my mood to describe my mood or how I felt. But I just couldn't. I honestly couldn't. And the closest I came to it was Corneille's song, Seul au Monde. Especially the line, which is the title of today's episode. Plus fragile que je veux qu'on croit. Oh my God. Fuck. Yo, I gotta tell you, French people, okay, wait. First of all, fuck the white man and his language. But with that said, French mother, oh man, they can put words together to create ideas, man. And yeah, English too, but not as, I can't explain it. The way ideas are communicated from French versus English, it's different. I'm not going to say one is better than the other. I kind of want to, but anyways, this particular verse plus fragile que je veux qu'on croit. Again, I still haven't decided whether my target audience for this podcast is a bilingual audience or whether you're English. It is, so if you're English, I'd have to translate everything that I say. But like I said at the beginning, you don't have to speak French, but it helps if you understand it for this podcast. I should probably put that somewhere on the podcast, especially considering how... Wait, Be Black is still figuring out how to market this podcast, all right? Okay. Holy shit, I'm still on the intro. I'm sorry. My bad. All this to say, you know, I'll probably elaborate more in the final thought portion of the of this podcast. But for now, let's just get this show going. And before I go, I have to one piece of content that I need to share with y'all. And it's by that I found and I found on TikTok, and I feel the need to share with y'all. And I'm going to play this to kick off the rest of the episode, all right? And the content creator, her name is, well, their name is Rosie, at Rosie Lou, all right? And here it goes. Fuck it. I can't say. Here we go. I'm just going to read the content, but here we go.
Stop scrolling. This video found you for a reason. You've been trying to figure out why it is everything is going wrong. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. The problem is everybody else. You're perfect. In fact, you're the luckiest person that ever lived. Don't be afraid to repeat the same patterns of behaviour and expect a different result every time. You got this, babe. Stop.
I don't know if you guys can hear this, because in my headphones it sounds... if you heard this perfectly, but whatever. In my headphones, it sounded a little off. It might just be a sound thing, but the key word is when you think about your problems, just remember it's everyone else's fault, not yours. All right, fuck it. You ain't got shit to fix. Yeah, man. All right, okay. Let's get going. Again, link to what I just played is in the show notes, so you can hear it yourself. Hopefully it sounds better than it sounds in my headphone, but here we go. All right. Okay. Let's get going. News and random thoughts. Okay. Here we go. Bam, bam. Damn. DJ Octopus. Okay. All right. All right. This came on my timeline, like right before I logged into, right before I logged in, as I was preparing for today's show, all right? And so it's kind of new, right? And it has me thinking about the, you know, there's a whole documentary on it. No, there's a podcast I need to listen about this. But it's about, here, I'll just play it, okay? It goes, hi, everyone. Okay, here we go. I'll just play it. Basically,
hi, everyone. It's Show here.
All right, okay, let me back up, all right? So basically, I'm going to play a clip from the creator of TikTok, basically the Mark Zuckerberg of TikTok. Fuck Zuckerberg. And I can say this because I'm not on TikTok. But yeah, I'm going to play this and then share my thoughts on this one, right? Shout out to Kenny Akers, someone I follow on TikTok, who shared this, and his caption was, "You trust Zuckerberg over this guy? Just saying." And that brother keeps post. He's another brother, you know, content creator on Twitter who posts shit that just makes me want to respond, makes me want to reply, right? I should probably list that. Holy shit. Hold on a second. I forgot to set my timer. You know what I mean? If I don't set a timer, I will be on this fucking thing forever. I should give props to my man. Trevor Thompson, right? Because I love how he keeps his podcast. He doesn't handle compliments too very well, right? But with that said, I love how he keeps his podcast to like a fixed time amount when he's doing solo episodes. And I don't know if he does that with the timer, but I don't. So that's why I have to play a timer, or else I will. I like, you know, it's funny. I didn't know this about myself, but I enjoy talking, even though I'm not talking to anyone. I enjoy talking, and if you don't put a timer, you don't set a limit, then I will Talk until I'm tired. I'll talk until I'm hungry. Talk until I'm like, holy shit. Wake up, honey. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do that on dates. Like, don't. Here's the funny part. If you get to know me, you'll be like, yeah, you don't look like the talking type. That's because I'm not in a comfortable mood. But right now, on this podcast, oh my God, I'm getting off topic. All right, yes. I'm a talker, hence the timer. All right, here we go. Okay. So yes, let me play this clip by the CEO of TikTok. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. I'm the CEO of TikTok. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today, and I have some news and updates to share with everyone here. Today, I'm super excited to announce that more than 150 million Americans are on TikTok. That's almost half of the U.S. coming to TikTok to connect, to create, to share, to learn, or just to have some fun. This includes 5 million businesses that use TikTok to reach their customers. And the majority of these are small and medium businesses. Now, these numbers are amazing. And I'm so thankful to all of you and the 7,000 TikTok employees in the US who are helping us build this incredible community in America and around the world. Now, this comes at a pivotal moment for us. Some politicians have started talking about banning TikTok. Now, this could take TikTok away from all 150 million of you. I'll be testifying before Congress later this week to share all that we're doing to protect Americans using the app and deliver on our mission to inspire creativity and to bring joy. Let me know in the comments what you want your elected representatives to know about what you love about TikTok.
Oh, nice. Okay, well said, bro. Well said. Well said. All right, okay. And so in response to the caption by Kenny Akers, you trust Zuckerberg over this guy, just saying, and I responded with, I don't know him enough. I mean, it's a fair quote. I want to be clear. If I reference a content creator on this podcast, it's not a criticism. Rarely, right? But it's not a criticism. It's usually... Ooh, sorry. Goddamn, the devil's in me. Right. Yeah, again, when I reference a content creator on this podcast, especially if I list their name in their show notes, it's rarely a criticism. It's more, they said something that I wish, if we were in a barbershop, I would have complimented what they would have said. Or I would have shared a thought. They said something that inspired a thought in my mind that I need to share back. All right? Like the first content creator, either they made me laugh, either they said something fascinating or whatever, or that if I was in the room with them, if we were having a conversation, I would be contributing. So the content creator, like I'm thinking of making a list of all the content creators that I put on this one. Every once in a while, I'll put a content creator whose shit I disagree with. But if I really, like the last piece of content that I'm going to play, I'm not going to reference their name because A, my point is not to attack them. I attack them personally. It's just more to attack the idea they transmitted. But yeah, so in this case, I'm complimenting what Keen Akers said. And I responded with, I don't know him enough, the CEO of TikTok, to decide whether I trust him more or less. But I do know I don't trust Zuckerberg for shit. I'm going to be clear. I don't know the CEO of TikTok. This is probably the first time he's made an appearance. Think of Zuckerberg is like Puffy Comb, man. He's made him, Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, they made themselves know I'm the rapper, producer, CEO of this motherfucker. You're using my tool. I'm flossing you. You're using my tool for free. Therefore, I'm using the fact that you're using my free shit to collect information about your ass and whatever, right? So all this to say, I don't know the CEO of TikTok. This is the first time in my eyes that, like, I've discovered I see his face. So I don't know him enough, right? And I'll continue on that. So like I was saying, I don't know him enough. And then the last sentence I put was, one thing I will say about TikTok is some of my favorite content creators on the internet, not including podcasts, I found there and not on Facebook. I should have said Twitter too. And my point is to answer the CEO of TikTok, my favorite part about TikTok is one, the content creators. Seriously, man. God bless them all. If I was rich, I would log on to their Patreon page. I would contribute to their Patreon page, to their bonus content. I would donate. I would do that shit. No, all I can do right now is, as a poor black man that I am right now, is just say that I am so fucking grateful for you people. black content creator, white content creator. Like, when I remember when I first logged into, I guess the second part I like about TikTok is how, on my For You page, how whatever algorithm they got going, they fed them, they all sent them my way. Unlike Twitter keeps trying to pair me up with assholes, with motherfuckers I don't like, with people who just seem to bring out the worst in me. TikTok, on the other hand, I don't know, man. They figured out that, and I hate admitting this because black folks are going to hate me for what I'm about to say, right? But they kept feeding me with, like, the Tim Wise of the world. What's the name of that woman? Oh, fuck. I need to remember her name. Oh, fuck. What's her name? Damn it. Hold on a second. I'm going to put the name Tim Wise. There's a white woman, Tim Wise. And then people search for Jane Elliott. There we go. Jane Elliott. All right. The Jane Elliotts of the world. Basically, white people who know the time. You know, I hate to say this word. Who are woke. White people who know what time it is. You know? And I get it. Yeah, it's like I'm giving props to white people for just being fucking human beings. But I've been saying, you know, I grew up in drowning in a storm of whiteness. I grew up in a world where the realities of black people were only spoken by black people. To now, after years, an entire, you know, decades, to now start learning about the John Browns of the world, the Tim Wise, the Jane Elliotts, and they're on TikTok. Basically, white people who know what the fuck time it is. Basically, who can speak about the reality of black folks. It's some amazing shit to me. It's like the equivalent of, so I was going to compare it to a talking monkey. No, that's not true. It's like, so I used to use that joke about talking monkey. I used to say that about white people when they see me being articulate, and it's like, wow, oh my god, a talking monkey. Oh no, when white people see me speaking French, or it's like, oh my god, you know, it's like they're fascinated. But okay, oh my god, but what I'm saying is, it's a fascinating shit for me. It's like an acrobat act that I've never seen, like when it's a white person saying, talking about Black History Month, saying educated, intelligent shit about race. It's some fascinating shit. And when I first got onto TikTok, I don't know how they figured it out, but they kept on my For You page, they just kept putting that on my For You page. In addition, they would put black folks doing normal ass shit. Normal things. Black people who like cats. Okay, I did find out on Instagram. Who like pets. Black people bowling. Black people, you know, just, again, you have to understand, I grew up drowning in a sea of whiteness. You know, the natural order of things. Black people are this, you're either an immigrant or fucking begging for reparation, and white people are superior, we got our shit together, don't know how you know, like, man, if you're a black person who grew up with only white people, you understand what I'm talking about, man. You, like, holy shit. I used to joke about when I go to Toronto, I spend most of the trip going, what the fuck? A black bus driver. Oh, my God. Just seeing black people just doing shit that you don't see black people do on TV. Anyway, all this to say, what I appreciate about TikTok is how some of my favorite, intelligent, articulate content creators have been, who also aren't black, are on TikTok. I got a lot of favorite black content creators. Most of them are on podcasts. But TikTok just introduced me to white people who know what time it is. And it's just like a shocking thing for me. You know what? Okay, no, I remember the first time I discovered podcast. Okay, that's podcasters. But I was like Chinilla podcast. It's like, holy shit, I just blanked out. Chinilla, chocolate and vanilla. Shirley. Comment tu prononces ton nom? Shirley ou Shirley? Anyway, yeah. And let's go see Rod. His name's not Rod. My point is, I remember the white portion, the husband, Shirley's husband, and being fascinated about what the fuck? How are you white and you know this shit? Being fascinated at the fuck that he wasn't a fuckboy. I imagine it's probably kind of like being a woman and meeting a man who actually understands feminism as much as you do, or even more than you do. Like, you know, it's like, you know, is a feminine advocate. But basically, it's the same thing for white people who are literate about racism and race. And all this to say, and that's what I liked about TikTok, man. It just kept showing me this content like that. Black people doing things that aren't on television, or black and white people, fucking Asians, everyone, all colors of the rainbow, just doing things that, you know, like just a better understanding, better examples of the human beings doing human being shit. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's why I'm like, shout out to TikTok for that. So I'm telling you all this shit because they do what they do so well, and now they're in this situation where they're trying to fight the fact that they might get banned by they're being banned like in the government. I work in the private sector in the government. Well, Trudeau just announced that, yeah, man, don't be running that TikTok application on any of our devices. Oh, first of all, why the fuck are you using government device to run TikTok? But that's a different story. But there's like this trend by Western countries in the States, Canada, Europeans, whatever, to ban TikTok. And I didn't say Trudeau, I meant Trump. Trump actually was like, yeah, man, ban that TikTok. And from what I can tell, the rumor is the Chinese for banning TikTok is that the Chinese government in on that freedom shit. They're like infiltrating TikTok. They're like saying, hey, give us your logs. They're using TikTok to spy on Canadian citizen, to spy on their, you know, on other countries. That's what the rumor is. I don't know if that's true. Okay, I need to find more information about this. But I will say this, because of white people's history, because of Western countries' history, I would not be surprised if TikTok, again, not factual, I still do my research, right? I want to start a trip, but I'm just saying, right now, as it fucking stands, I would not be surprised if TikTok, and maybe even the Chinese government, isn't doing anything different than what Facebook, Twitter, I don't know about you, Google, what all these companies are doing, like spying on their users. Because look, they're giving you a free service, right? They're going to get something out of it. You know what I mean? White man does not do anything. When I say white man, I'm talking about capitalism. No capitalist does anything for fucking free. There's always something in it. I compare Facebook to like going to a party and they say no cover charge, but we need you to agree to, we want to know your first name, your phone number, where you work, what you're drinking, where you bought your shit, what girl you're gonna holler at, what music you enjoy. Like they keep track of all this information so they can sell it to other motherfuckers, right? But you know, but everything's free, except, you know, you gotta pay for the drinks, whatever. But that's how I compare Facebook. Like they let you use, there's free software, sure, man. Fuck, there's a lot of chicks on this application that you can bang. You know, I'm like talking to hetero males here and say, yeah, have fun. Okay, you can holler at them, sure, but We're gonna take this information and sell it to. Nothing is private. So all I'm saying is, I would not be surprised if TikTok is not doing anything different than every other social media app on the internet, and they're using this whole Chinese government is attacking you to scare us, to attack us. Like, I don't know. What are we are we beefing with China? I don't know what that's about. I don't know. Whatever. Far as I'm fucking concerned, it's one overlord to another, you know, it's like, I'm like Pooh in The Wire, you know, one boss takes over the, like, you know, Pooh working for the Barksdale, and then next thing you know, he's working for Marlowe. He's like, whatever, man, what the fuck? I'm a small peon in this. I'm not joining any war. But all this to say, because of the history of white people, I would not be surprised if this shit is just like, yeah, these are our hoes. By our hoes, I mean us. Us users, these are our hoes, and you cannot access our hoes. All right, only we get to fuck our hoes. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going on. And then they're gonna use the whole. You know, I gotta be careful because part of me falls for the I don't know shit about the Chinese government except that they're communist, and then that they're just trying to get on the I don't know. You know, okay. I'm going to stop saying shit that I don't. I prompt myself talking about shit that I don't understand because, you know, that's how conspiracy theories end up being created. But the one idea that I do stand on is my suspicion. My suspicion that I would not be surprised if this whole banning TikTok shit is just white people being, nah, fuck that. We ain't letting these motherfuckers get into our market. Fuck that. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight us for these hoes. And by hoes, I mean us users. So, yeah, good luck, TikTok. You know, I mean, he looks like a decent guy. He looks like, well, you know, what the fuck? What do I know? Again, shut up, bitch. Shut up. I'm going to stop talking because I don't know what I'm talking about here. Yeah. All right. I'm going to bring something that I haven't done in a long time, and it's called PN Update. And, wow, 5 minutes left. Okay, I'm going to try to wrap this up. Making excuses. By not preparing for the show, I just put on ideas, and I didn't narrow down why I put down these ideas. But whatever, right? So, PN Update, right? So, for those of you who don't know, I signed up for a program called Precision Nutrition. And what I like about this program is they're not, hey, here's this latest scheme to lose weight. Hey, fat fuck, start doing these exercises. And not shit like that. Like, they meet you where you are. Like, it's pretty much they're planting the seed. Have you seen the movie Inception? That's how it feels like. It's like Inception. They're going into your brain. Okay, it sounds a little sinister, but, you know. But they're planting the right seeds in your mind so you can end up being, like, out by the end of this program. Well, maybe not the other, but at some point in the future, I'll be the one nagging you about, hey, man, salad, you need to start eating celery, eating greens, and watch your weight, you know. Like, it'll be out of my own initiative. Like, it won't be someone who beat me into following a diet or being or adopting a healthier lifestyle. It'll come out of my own. And what I like about this program is they plant all the right seeds so you can figure this shit out for yourself. So, all this to say that one of the questions that they ask is, figuring out your whys. Like, why are you trying to lose weight? Like, if you could narrow that shit down. And I'm realized that I'm struggling with my, like, initially, maybe I think a few episodes I might have told you that my whys is how much I love progress. The concept of progress. My why is progress. And then I'm realizing that that's not working enough for me. All I know is I've been able to identify my whys, and it's the fact that, I don't know if you can hear it right now, how I tend to lose my breath doing simple exercise. And I'm talking to one of my trainers, and he was saying about how, basically he made me realize how a diet, he didn't say it's conclusive, but diet can contribute to that shit. And because he said that, he finally said that, like, that was the one that, like, okay, there's a lot of ideas, but because he said that, that's enough for me to be like, okay, I'm going to start watching what I eat. Before, I was like, yo, man, Obama, don't fucking tell me. Michelle Obama, don't tell me what I can eat. But okay, PN Update, as I'm getting closer to my whys, I want to live what I need or what it will take for me to start living a healthier lifestyle. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. Last week I realized, yeah, man, it'll help your lifestyle. Okay, I'm going to stop at that. I might elaborate on this shit on the next episode, but for now, I'm just going to say that's my PN update for today's episode. All right, last topic on news and random thoughts And this is how, if you've ever seen me do comedy, you probably heard me, I'm acting all, like I got fan base here. I used to have a joke called, where my nickname was, one of my AKA was Papi Pesos. And where I got this nickname was because the joke came from the last time I was in the Dominican Republic, and I remember going to a strip club. Well, first of all, before going to the strip club, I had the cab driver take me to an ATM machine, probably some court, I forget where, some ATM machine, and I remember taking out, I forget how much I took, but I took out like $300 Canadian in pesos, whatever, right? And I remember putting in that amount. I forget what I put in, but I put in $300 Canadian, and then remember hearing the fucking ATM machine going, net, 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 net. Basically, you know, when it's like calculating a lot of money. It was doing that for a long motherfucking time. So I don't know what $300 Canadian when I was in Dominican Republic at the time equaled into pesos, Dominican Republic. Wait, what did they use in Dominican Republic? Pesos, right? I don't know how much money it came out to, but it was a fucking lot, a whole lot. And I remember the machine going, nit, 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 nit. It was there for, yo, I felt like a fucking baller. And then I put that money, I put it in my wallet, try to fold it, man. I felt like a motherfucker. Again, this was during my unenlightened days where, you know, a man's value was by what's in his pocket, not what's in his heart. Like, I was into that. My self-esteem was whack. All right, so I remember having all these bills in my pocket and feeling like the motherfucking man. Homie takes me to the strip club, and well, I don't know if you've been to a strip club in Dominican Republic, right? But guys, you know, you probably talked about it. Yeah, the rumors are true. I remember walking in that club and making the joke that when the women saw me, they leaped, not walked. Not ran, they leaped to me. All I know is as soon as I walked in, I was like the hot chick. I was like the hot chick in a sausage fest. These women leaped. I had four women surrounding me. It was the most I've ever felt desired in my life. People, they just wanted you for your money. Yeah, I didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? My self-esteem was so low. I didn't give a fuck. They just wanted you for your money. I'll take your fake affection. So my point is, I'm walking in there and be surrounded by women. The most I've ever felt desired in my life. A water stack in my pocket. You know what I mean? No. No, that's not a banana in my pocket. It's a water cash in my motherfucking pants. And I nicknamed myself in that moment, Papi Pesos. Okay, now I remember before going to Dominican Republic, hearing about how the currency and how the advantage, you know, how, you know, and like everyone told you, yo, these chicks want you. And I remember that's all I thought about, right? That's all about is how I felt. That's all that mattered. I felt desired. I had a whole lot of money. I was basically I was living the lifestyle of a rapper. I was about to make it rain up in this bitch. And then I found this clip on TikTok. Now, I didn't find it on TikTok. It was actually on Twitter. And who shared it? Is it this my same homeboy? Nope. Okay. Dirty Mac Jack. And this is where... Pause. Okay. So this is where I will not tell you the content creator. This is... Dirty Mac Jack shared some content from TikTok. And this motherfucker said some shit that made me feel shitty about my whole... Papi Peso nickname and the joke. Oh, I forgot to say, yeah, the joke was, shout out, you know, I call, you know, my nickname is Papi Pesos. Shout out to Dominican Republic, shout out to the strippers of Dominican Republic and our Canadian currency. That was the joke. You know, people laugh. I thought I was clever for writing it. And then now I'm going to kill this joke. Episode 63. I'm just announcing I'm going to kill that joke. I'm never, ever saying it again. Nor am I ever calling my... Oh, I might call myself Papi Pesos again. But the joke is being killed. And because of what this motherfucker says, and here we go. 2 minutes, 20 seconds, brace yourself.
And also, man, don't go crazy, you know what I'm saying? These local countries, they have their own economy set up, you know what I'm saying? In some places, for instance, in the DR, you know, the average person pays between $100 and $200 a month for rent, you know what I'm saying? So if you, you know, papi dinero, you come down here, you know what I'm saying, you spending, you know, $200-$300 on a female in a day, man, you just blowing things way out of proportion. You know what I'm saying? You're messing up the economy, the local economy. So now the next guy comes down, these women are gonna expect way more than probably ever seen. I ain't gonna say deserve, you know what I'm saying? You can get what you can get out of life, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you're an American man and you're not having the success you want as far as dating, you come to a foreign country and you have a lot more opportunity and access, you start to go crazy, that kind of throws things off, man. It makes an imbalance, if you will, in the force and the system.
Okay, I'm gonna stop. I'll summarize the summaries in the post. I'm not gonna mention the content creator's name, because him and I would probably have beef. You know, he's coming. But anyway, he summarizes was tricking and simping can ruin your paradise. Basically, this is code for don't pay for them hoes, man. Money over bitches. It's been okay. Basically, he's being a capitalist. He's saying, look, not only should you take advantage of the currency difference when you get to these countries, which is what I was doing. I've been admitting I was doing. But you can even take advantage of the situation. It's like he's bragging about the fact that there's no minimum wage in their country. Don't pay so much because you're ruining it for the rest of us. And yeah, I felt like shit. I felt like hearing this asshole speak, I think it'd be equivalent to a white person, you know, I don't know, your favorite black joke, and then you have a racist Klansman say it, and like, oh, fuck, is that how I sound? So that was my moment. Basically, this motherfucker is like, he's a different, so you have incels, he's a different, not a chapter, but he's a different, like, manosphere. Okay, if you take the umbrella term of manosphere or misogynist, fuckboys, piece of shits, right? Fuckboys, right? He's like a different branch of fuckboyism. And I say this because as an ex-member of the cult of masculinity, because what I'm saying right now, if you're a member of the cult of masculinity, you hate what I'm saying right now. You're like, what the fuck is he talking about, man? Fuck these hoes, whatever. Yeah. As a person who sees women as human beings, regardless of their financial, regardless of the country they live, as a man who's trying to break out of the matrix, okay, wrong term, as a man who's trying to break out of the cult of masculinity, who's broken out of the cult of masculinity, unlearning the shitty things he's been told about the world he lives in, about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, how to treat women, everything that asshole just said is fucking shitty. And that dude, like, hearing him talk, I was like looking at a reflection in the mirror I did not want to see anymore, man. Like, I realized that what I was saying about this whole poppy pesos, about how, yeah, I went to Dominican Republic because the chicks there are more quote-unquote cooperative. What I was really saying is, yeah, some poor woman in financial strain who's like in a desperate situation. See, the illusion I told myself is like, yeah, no. She likes this money and this dick. It's a fucking lie. She needs the fucking money. Who knows? She got built. Who needs the money? Like, okay, you know what I mean? Basically, it's the whole thing is, I remember before going into Dominican Republic, and reading that article, some post about some, it might have been a feminist blog or feminist discussion board. And this lady was saying, the idea was, don't let your boyfriend go to Dominican Republic. And the whole idea was, because the strippers there are desperate. You know, like, your boyfriend is going there to cheat. Like, these women are going for broke. Like, And I remember reading her post and being like, ah, you're a fucking hater, man. Fuck. Another feminist trying to hate on, trying to stop us, man, from having fun. Now, after hearing this asshole, I'm like, fuck. I see what she meant. She was saying, yeah, men purposely go to these poorer countries to take advantage of the currency. And look, I want to be careful. I'm not preaching here, right? I feel like I'm being a little judgmental. I don't know, whatever, right? I support sex work. I'm just factoring the fact that there are some women who do sex work, not because they like it, because they have to. And just hearing this dude is like, I take advantage of women who need to do sex work, who have to do sex work. And I don't know, man. Just hearing that clip, I just didn't like myself for a second. Okay, well, I beat myself up for any reason, but it's more I didn't like my Poppy Peso joke anymore. All right. So this concludes. Oh, not bad, B. Okay. So whatever. news and random thoughts. 20 minutes, and I'm at 20:55. So I'm gonna stop the timer here. But even though according to my soundboard, I'm in 46 minutes. I should be at the 30-minute mark, but I'm at the 47 mark. So I'm gonna wrap this up. I'm gonna motherfucking wrap this up. So let's end this with. Final thoughts. All right, here we go. All right, I'm a little. Hold on a second. Fuck it. I don't have ADD, but here we go. Sorry. I had a notification on Twitter, and I couldn't stop myself from not checking it out. Also, George Zimmerman was tweeting today. I wonder what that's about. All right, fuck. Yeah, this is all live, man. We're doing it live. We're doing this motherfucking live. Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, I don't have to go through that. You know what? Okay, let me go back to final thoughts. Okay, real quick. Speaking of content creator, this time it's favorite content creator. I recently discovered a podcast called BFF, Black Fat Fam. And listened to a recent episode called, an episode called Dare to Be Outspoken. Start off by saying I recommend it. Dope. It's going on my list. I just discovered, but they're getting close to, it's too early to call it, to put you on my list of favorite podcasts right now. Think of yourself as J. Cole, and when I think of my favorite rappers, you know, I have my top fives, and you guys are like the J. Coles of... the joke is I have my top five rap list. It's up, Tupac, Ice Cube, Jay-Z, Nas, and KRS-One. All right, okay, that's my top five. And I wanted to put J. Cole on there, but my friend was like, no, man, come on, man, fuck that, it's too young. Oh my god, focus, B. All right, Dare to Be Outspoken podcast, and I really enjoyed this episode, man, very much. And first thing I'll say is what I enjoyed about it is it's how the conversation these two have is the kind of conversation I like being part of or listening to. It's like deep, it's like insightful. It's like, see, I keep saying how I, growing up, it took me a while to make peace with this, right? But I had this tendency of, explain this. It's not enjoying the company of women, not because of their looks, but the conversation I was able to have. Like, I was allowed to be vulnerable. See, the thing about me is I'm coming to terms with the fact that I'm a hypersensitive male. And it's not something I like to brag about, right? Because, again, I'm still coming out of the cult of masculinity. The cult of masculinity, which is fucking admitting that you're a sensitive person, is a fucking no-no. Anyways, I'm an introvert and hypersensitive. And I enjoy deep conversations. And This episode just made me realize how much I, like, the content just reminded, like, basically, I listened to it and it made me more at peace with myself. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I should mention that, not mention, but I will put down that I wrote down, made notes about it, right? There's one of the topics they took on is, what's a value that you used to have that you started to question? I'm not going to, you know, you can listen to the episode. You should listen to the episode, you know, and enjoy the conversation. But it had me thinking about, I forgot to write it down though. Values that change for you. It's, oh my God, I didn't write this down. I just wrote down values that change for you. Okay, so it's a question I need to think for myself. Like, a lot comes to turn, but I don't want to, you know, go blabber on and not make sense of what I'm trying to say. But let me just read out what I wrote down while they were going. Okay, so I enjoyed the topic of values that have changed for you. Because he talked about patience, and it made me realize that that I'm a patient. I can be a patient person, not as much as I want to be, but patient person. But it's more appreciating patience from other people. I didn't realize that. Like, I made peace with the fact that, okay, it's supposed to be my own values, but I value people who are willing to be as patient with me as I am with them. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right. So what else I wrote down? I said, there was a quote that I forgot to look up. It goes, if I don't speak about my pain, let me see if I can, if I Google this quote, will it show up? Oh man. No, it doesn't. Okay. I think it goes, I'm going to read up. It goes, if I don't speak about my pain. Oh, there we go. I think I got it. If you're silent about your pain, they'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. Zora Neale Hurston. And that's deep, man. No, that's deep. I think that's what's something that, part of what ignited this podcast, part of what got me into public speaking. And no, but more importantly, I remember after the death of George Floyd, realizing how silent I was about racism myself. And here's the funny part. Around black people, I spoke up. Black people know me as B Black. People who know me. But white people, nah, they saw me as that dude who I joke about how they knew I was black, but they didn't realize, but I never made them realize that I was a practicing black man. And I'm just going to read the quote. Again, if you're silent about your pain, they'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. Another thing they talked about is about being authentic. Maybe that is a new value for me. I used to value hiding my authentic self. And now I'm on a journey into getting closer to my authentic self. That's what this podcast is about, by the way. Anyway, that was another topic discussed on this episode that I'm discussing. And the last one was, I can't remember, but there was a thought that they had, there's something, I think they were talking about Angela Davis. And it just a spare thought. It wasn't discussed on the podcast, but there's something that made me realize is how, like, I might even make a bit out of it, is how I was so ignorant about the contribution of women, black women, to the Black Panthers. So ignorant to it, right? That I remember when first time I heard Angela Davis speak at a university. And I remember going in there expecting her to be on that. Okay, here's some locations that you black Canadians need to burn down. I remember going, wanting to hear her speak, and I thought it was just going to be about, and again, this was during my unenlightened days. The whole conference, I remember she was talking about, why is she talking about gay people? Why is she talking, what is that about? I remember being so fucking confused, not understanding why is she talking about homophobia? What is that about? Yo, let's talk more about racism, completely oblivious that She was ahead. She was ahead of the discussion. Like, I was just, I was more Hotep than I was pro-black. And, yeah, it just made me, it was very insightful. She just, what's the word when you see the future? She was just ahead of the curve. And I was so lost on the discussion that it went over my head, only to realize that, yeah, the women of the movement, like, they saw the bigger picture. It was more than just standing up to the police with guns. It was more about violence. It was more than that. You know, Black Panther was more than that. They had breakfast program. They thought about the economy, economic, like they were, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that it was obvious. Just that presentation alone should have been my sign that, of course, it would take black women to help out, to fuel, to provide the infrastructure for an organization like the Black Panthers. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I've always known Black Panther as the Black Panther Party as Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. Guns, showing up to cops, and that's all I knew because I was a teenager. I didn't know shit. You know, I knew the violent aspect, but I didn't know about the intellectual aspect about the Black Panther movement. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, it was just, there was a discussion going on that on that last episode that just had me thinking about how blissfully ignorant I was about the Black Panther, specifically the contribution by black women. And I don't mean, you know, like ideas like, hey, we're trying to feed our community. We're trying to protect our community. We're trying to build households. Like the that important. Like, I remember, for me, it was just guns. Being able to be violent. Being a strong black man. No, they're thinking about, what do we need? What does the family need? What does the community need? You know what I mean? Like, there's that aspect that's so forgotten. Like, man, we give ourselves credit for being, you know, we die in wars. Yeah, but and when I say the women or femininity, like, creates the reason to fight in wars. And I don't just mean family. I mean, like, I'm trying to, this is one of those things, yeah, I wish I could put down on paper. I'm going to have to put that, is the yin and yang, femininity versus masculinity. I've grown up believing that, you know, mankind, men, like, when it comes to humanity, we're the most important, men are the most important part in that equation when it comes to humanity. And there's so much that got left out. There was so much I was oblivious to, the contribution, not just women, I mean, like, femininity. Like, there's a yin and a yang. Shout out to my first therapist who helped me realize that when it comes to men and women, we're like a spectrum between us. Just because you have a penis doesn't mean you're a man. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I remember she made me realize, growing up as a boy, it bothered me that I was hypersensitive, that I was in denial about that shit because I was trying to be a real man. And when she pointed out that, no, it's normal to have masculine features, to have a penis, and have feminine trait. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yes. Anyways, man. Yo, yeah, shout out to that podcast, Black Fat Femme. Because the whole point, you know, they inspire, especially the title of the episode is Dare to Be Outspoken. Dare to be, stop being a person, stop, dare to take space. That's what I'm saying. If the word I'm looking for, dare to take space. In a world that says that, yeah, no, people like you should be quiet. People like you should move the fuck out of other people's way, more important people's way. And, yeah, man, it's, I'm running out of words, man. Maybe it's because, I'm making an excuse, but yeah, no, I'm running out of words to describe how much I enjoyed the episode, how much I was inspired from it. And I, you know what? It's funny, I mentioned all these content creators, and I'm wondering, whether I should shot, you know, holler at them. Like, a part of me doesn't like, because they're like a established podcast. One of them referred to themselves, you know, we're C-list. We're part D-list, C-list, you know. And I feel like it's a little presumptuous on my part to be, hey, I'm a podcast with probably one listener and who might be related to me. And I feel like, feel a little presumptuous to say, I guess I could shout them, you know, in their comment section or holler at them in discussion. I guess I could do that. But yeah, this is just me trying to say how much I appreciate it. They're Dare to Be Outspoken episode, and if you have a chance to check it out, you should check it out. And this concludes. I had other items. Yeah, no, that's concludes. That's it. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast 063. What did I say the title was going to be? 063. Je suis plus fragile que je veux qu'on croit. Oh my God, I forgot to translate it for you damn Anglophones, right? Plus fragile qu'on veut qu'on croit. If you put that in Google Translate, you'll probably get, you know, I'll just tell you. It's more fragile than I want you to believe. More fragile than I want you to believe. Yeah, it's the powerful line about how it says a lot about the author, but I felt this one hits home. That line just hits home. I'm more fragile than I want the world to believe. Or more fragile than I could come to terms with. Then there we go. All right, man. Yeah, so like I said, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter. You know, while it's still up and running, word on the street is Elon Musk is fucking shit up. And who knows? Maybe I should make my headquarters on the internet. Well, I have a website, shutuppodcast.com. But you know, the other one is, I keep mentioning Twitter, but maybe I should make TikTok my headquarters. Hey, B Black, how come you don't make Facebook your headquarters? Because they kept putting me in Facebook jail, and one day I got an email from them, a message from them said, hey, your account is disabled until you upload a government issue ID. And I said, fuck you, Zuckerberg. Yeah, man. Like, the bank has earned. Zuckerberg is like the bank of Silicon Valley. Yeah, man. I'm gonna give you my private information, but I don't trust you to act responsibly with it. So yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Holler at me on Twitter, B Blizzak, or Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on this website. I also forgot to mention that the show notes are also on the website. You can also find me on Google and Apple Podcasts. Ayo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts. Peace. Word. I say word, but I'm thinking of, like, yeah, peace.